Picture a pendulum that never stops at the center, always swinging past it. This is how Howard Marks, co-founder of Oaktree Capital Management, describes market cycles, the invisible force that can transform sound investments into catastrophic failures or risky bets into spectacular successes. Not because the investment changed, but because the cycle did. While most investors focus on what to buy, the truly successful ones understand when to buy it. Cycles aren't random fluctuations, but interconnected patterns with their own internal logic, oscillating around midpoints with each event causing the next. They're inevitable, self-correcting, and frequently misunderstood due to investors' notoriously short memories. Understanding even a little about cycle timing gives you an advantage over those who ignore them, and that's what separates average returns from exceptional ones. Investing means making decisions today that will benefit from tomorrow's events, a fundamentally uncertain proposition. While achieving average market returns is simple through index funds, consistent outperformance requires an edge. But where can you find it? Not in predicting unpredictable macro events, but in three specific areas: knowing more about the knowable, company fundamentals, maintaining discipline about appropriate prices, and understanding the current investment environment. Think of the future not as a fixed outcome, but as a probability distribution. Superior investors develop a better sense of these probabilities. They understand what tickets are in the ball and whether the odds favor participation. While the U.S. economy typically grows at 2-3% annually with modest fluctuations, corporate profits swing dramatically wider, and securities markets soar and collapse even more drastically. Why this amplification? First, different industries show varying sensitivity to economic cycles. Necessities remain stable, while luxury goods fluctuate wildly. Second, operating leverage magnifies profit changes relative to sales changes because fixed costs remain constant while revenues fluctuate. Third, financial leverage amplifies these effects further. Companies with debt must make interest payments regardless of performance, so equity holders absorb disproportionate gains and losses. Consider how a small 2% GDP decline might cascade through this system, causing a 10% sales drop in certain industries, which combined with operating and financial leverage could trigger a 30-40% profit decline, potentially resulting in a 50% stock price collapse if investors become pessimistic. This explains why seemingly modest economic shifts can produce dramatic market movements. The system amplifies every signal passing through it. The pendulum of investor psychology rarely rests at the midpoint. It swings between euphoria and depression, celebrating positives and obsessing over negatives. This emotional oscillation drives markets between overpriced and underpriced extremes. In 47 years from 1970 to 2016, the S&P 500 returned between 8-12%, the normal range, only three times, with extreme years often clustering together. These fluctuations aren't explained by changing company fortunes, but by investors' persistent mood swings. Several interrelated emotional continuums drive this behavior: greed versus fear, euphoria versus depression, optimism versus pessimism, and credulousness versus skepticism. Perhaps most powerful is investors' willingness to value the future, like an empty building that's either seen as a cash drain or envisioned full of tenants generating profits. Most investors swing between these extremes at exactly the wrong times, perceiving events through constantly shifting lenses. When psychology is positive, everything gets interpreted favorably. Strong data means economic strength. Weak data means Fed easing. The same applies in reverse during negative periods. Risk attitudes oscillate dramatically between market extremes, from dismissive during good times to completely risk-averse during downturns. This fluctuation drives the credit cycle, arguably finance's most powerful cycle. During prosperity, perceived lending risks decrease, financial institutions compete by lowering standards and rates, and capital eventually flows to unworthy borrowers. When losses occur, lenders retreat, Risk aversion rises with interest rates and restrictions, capital becomes scarce, and companies struggle with debt rollovers. The pattern is cyclical. Prosperity brings expanded lending, which leads to unwise lending, which produces large losses, which makes lenders stop lending, which ends prosperity. The global financial crisis perfectly illustrates this. Easy capital, imprudent lending, and financial engineering created a bubble that collapsed when subprime mortgage defaults triggered downgradings, price collapses, and bank failures. The investor's goal is positioning capital to benefit from future developments. While some rely on forecasting, I don't believe most people can consistently predict events accurately enough to enhance returns. Instead, understanding where the market stands in its cycle provides crucial insight. When markets reach cyclical lows, prices hit new bottoms, media focuses on negativity, investors become depressed, and many sell at depressed prices. Paradoxically, this is when risk is lowest and potential returns highest. The reverse occurs at market tops. Key indicators include media sentiment, acceptance of novel investment schemes, capital availability, and valuation metrics in historical context. The most important signals are valuations, which depart from norms at extremes, and investor psychology, which often justifies these departures with "it's different this time" reasoning. While these assessments can't predict exact outcomes, they reveal probabilities. When markets are high in their cycle, corrections become more likely than continued gains, and vice versa. Success itself follows a cyclical pattern, carrying within itself the seeds of failure, and failure the seeds of success. When investors experience success, they often grow overconfident, becoming less disciplined and no longer insisting on the margin of safety that produced their earlier success. Meanwhile, strategies that work attract capital until they become overcrowded and cease to outperform. Nothing works forever, not approaches, rules, or processes. When everyone becomes convinced something will keep working, that's precisely when it won't. Companies experience similar cycles. Xerox dominated office copying in the 1960s with a monopoly on dry copying technology, becoming a nifty 50 stock considered so strong that nothing bad could happen. But success bred complacency, and by the early 2000s, Xerox's market share had plummeted from nearly 100% to the low teens. Throughout my career, I've repeatedly heard claims that economic cycles have ended, whether attributed to economic vitality, financial innovation, or central bankers' supposed omniscience. Yet these proclamations are invariably followed by recessions and market crashes that demonstrate cycles remain very much alive. The greatest investors don't predict the future. They accurately assess the present. They understand that cycles are the markets. Risk peaks when everyone thinks it's gone. Opportunity emerges when all see only danger. The cardinal investing sin isn't being wrong, but exiting after a decline and missing the inevitable rebound. This requires emotional fortitude to act contrary to crowd psychology. In investing, what's comfortable is rarely profitable. When you hear, "this time it's different," or "the old rules no longer apply," recognize these as signals that the cycle has reached an extreme. Position yourself not for what feels right today, but for what the cycle suggests will happen tomorrow. We can't control market tides, but we can learn to read them, making the difference between being swept away or riding the wave to shore.